We shall now turn to the passage which we read in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we shall look at the last three verses of the chapter. We could read again verse 42. 2 Kings 4, 42. And there came a man from Baal-Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the firstfruits, 20 loaves of barley and 4 ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Now this chapter has a series of miracles in it. And they show the power of God and the victory of God over debt, over death, over danger, and over deficiency. One woman's oil is multiplied so that from one little jar of oil, she gets lots of jars of oil and is able to sell that oil and pay her debts and live off the rest. And then there's a woman who shows great kindness and hospitality to Elisha. And she is given a son, but the son dies. And God's power is again demonstrated in bringing this little boy back to life. And then we read of the time when there's famine in the land. And the great pot is set on with stew. And there's death in the pot. It's poisonous. And the Lord, through his prophet, heals the poisonous stew. And here we read of the man from Baal-Shalisha sending a small, relatively small amount of food to Elisha, and that small amount of food feeding 100 men. The power of God, the victory of God, there is no limit to God. What a wonderful God we have. Praise him, worship him, trust in him, look to him for everything. Come unto me, all you that labor. Maybe you're laboring tonight. I don't know what it is that's causing you to labor, that's causing you to be weary, that's causing you to be downcast. But ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There is an answer in the Lord. The Lord is able to meet your needs. God worked miraculously in days gone by. Is there any limit to his power today? Has the arm of the Lord grown short that he cannot stretch it out to save? Is his ear grown heavy so that he no longer hears the prayers and the sighs and the groans of his people? Come to him with your needs. Come to him with your problems. Come to him for salvation. Salvation is freely offered. Whosoever will, let him come and let him take of the water of life freely. Freely offered to us. The living water, life-giving water, the transforming gospel, freely offered to anyone who will come. So come with your needs and your problems. And this passage tells us God is the answer. Trust him. And you will find that you didn't trust in vain. Now here we come then to this little story about the man from Baal-Shalisha and his 20 loaves of barley. What are we to make of it? Well, we must remember that all scripture is about Christ. So we have to ask, how is this passage teaching us about Jesus? Where is Christ here? And as we ask that question, we will be led into the riches of this little passage. The first thing we notice here is a gift to God. And when we see this man offering a gift to God, it reminds us of God's gift to us. And we would never give a gift to God unless God first gave a gift to us. We love him because he first loved us. And it's God's grace bestowed upon us that enables us to respond warmly and fully, giving to him. A man from Baal Shalisha. We don't know his name. And we don't even know where Baal Shalisha was. Somewhere in the hills of Ephraim. It was a dark day spiritually. But in the midst of all the darkness of the day, God was at work in the lives of men and women. Maybe there weren't crowds, multitudes following the Lord, but there was the faithful few. Remember Elijah, he said, Lord, I only am left alone, and they seek my life to destroy it. And God said to him, I have 7,000 reserved unto me in Israel, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. How important it is to remember that God has his people, his 7,000, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And here's one of them, this man from Baal Shalisha. In the midst of all the darkness and the apostasy in the northern kingdom of Israel, there is this one man, and he loves the Lord, and he shows his love to the Lord. I was reading a story about Eric Little. Remember, Eric Little was the man who wouldn't run on Sunday. Way back in 1924, he refused to run in the 100 meters race on Sunday. But then he ran the 400 meters race, won the gold medal in record time. Well, after he had finished there, he went as a missionary to China. And you remember when the Second World War came, how the Japanese invaded China. Derek Little one day was in a hotel, and a Japanese soldier came in. The situation was very threatening. The soldier wanted to go through his belongings. He opened up his case, and there was his Bible sitting in the middle of his case. And the man in broken English said, "You a Christian?" He said, "Yes." The Japanese soldier reached out his hand, shook his hand, and walked out. In the Japanese army, you wouldn't expect to find Christians, but the Lord had his Christian there. How wonderful. In different places, different nations, different settings, amongst the most unusual of situations, you will find the Lord's precious people. Now the law in Deuteronomy said that you had to give the first fruits of a harvest to the Lord. You were to come and give it to the priests. And so this man from Baal Shalisha, he has his first fruits. But he can't give it to the priests, because the priests at that time were the priests of Baal, appointed by Ahab. Or if it wasn't the priests of Baal, it was the priests of Bethel, of the calf worship in Bethel. The true priests were at Jerusalem, and the government forbade people to go to Jerusalem. So what does he do? Well, he could have made an excuse, and he could have said, there's no priests here, and I'm not allowed, so I can't give the first fruits to the priests. And he could have said anyway, there's been famine. Chapter 8 tells us that there were 7 years of famine. There's been a famine in the land. And this is the first fruits after the famine. I'm very poor, and I need this food for myself and for my family. I'll have to keep this But he didn't say that. Despite the famine, and despite the spiritual wickedness of the day, and despite the fact that there were no priests around, he wants to give an offering to God. And who does he give it to? The leader of the godly remnant, Elisha, the prophet. Surely there are many lessons there for us. So easy for us to make excuses. Oh, I have to spend my money on this or on that or the next thing. My family need this and so on. And yet there's a cause that we should be giving to. Bring ye now the tithes into my storehouse and prove me now herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you down a blessing so that there is not room enough to receive it. He wasn't looking for excuses. He was giving cheerfully, and God loves the cheerful giver. He gives 20 loaves of the first fruits, the first part of the harvest, and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. That was a special delicacy at the time. He gives full ears of corn and the husk and 20 loaves of barley, and he brings it or sends it to Elisha the priest. He gives the first and the best to God. The famine is over. And he's thankful. And he's praising God. And how we should see all good things as coming from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. All these good things coming down from God, and we should be giving to God in return. Worshipping God with our givings. And giving the very best to Christ. Think of what God has given to us. God gave to us his best, his only begotten, his beloved Son, to be our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's unspeakable gift. Nobody can speak sufficiently well of it. Nobody can fully describe what a wonderful gift this is, the gift of his Son. And that, of course, is our greatest motive for giving to the Lord and to the Lord's cause, and also for serving God. God has given to us his Son, and what have you given to him? Have you given your heart to him? Have you given your body a living sacrifice to him? Are you giving to him the fruit of your lips, praising his name? We are to come with our offerings and our sacrifices to the Lord. We are to come with our first fruits, as it were, praising and thanking him for what he has given to us. So that's the first thing, a gift to God. Now, secondly, I want you to notice here, provision for the hungry. The man gives Elisha 20 loaves. Now, we tend to think of a loaf as something quite big with lots of slices in it. But that's not the kind of loaves they had then. A loaf for them was a little round, which a person could eat. One person would eat one loaf, or maybe even eat two or three of them. Remember the boy who went, who was there that we're reading about in the Gospel? He had two barley loaves, and two fish. So he was able to eat several of these barley loaves himself. He had taken it as provision for himself when he was away for the day. So 20 barley loaves is not a large amount. What does Elisha say? Well, we better keep these loaves because there's not a lot of food around, and we could eat some today. Himself and his servant could have some more tomorrow, and then they could have some more the following day. So there would be several days' food there for them, and the 20 barley loaves. But no, he says to his servant, give to the people that they may eat, to the sons of the prophets, those 100 men who were with him in the college there, in the school, the people he was teaching, these men of God. They were hungry. It was a time of famine, short of food. Here comes some food. Give it to them. Take no thought for the morrow. Don't be worrying about what you'll eat tomorrow. Give today and give generously. That was Elisha's idea. A time of famine, and yet he's, instead of keeping the food for himself, selfishly, he tells his servant, give to the sons of the prophets. And this reminds us of Christ, doesn't it? When he saw the crowds coming to him, he said to Philip, where shall we get food for all these people? Philip is shocked at the very thought. 200 silver pieces couldn't feed all these people so that they all get a mouthful or two. Where will we get the money? How could we possibly do this? You remember on another occasion, we're told that the disciples came to Jesus and said, send the multitudes away. We're in a desert place. Send them away so that they may buy food. And Jesus said, give ye them to eat. You give to them. Don't send them away hungry. Christ's concern for the hungry people. Give them. But what do we have to give? All we have is these 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And what is that among so many? Caused the people to sit down. And then he broke the barley loaves and he broke the fish into pieces and gave to his disciples, and they gave to the multitudes, and they did eat. And that's what we have here. It's a forerunner of the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. It's telling us, pointing us forward to the coming great prophet who would perform this wonderful miracle. Give ye them to eat. Think of Israel in the desert. They'd left the land of Egypt. Before long they ate all the food that they had taken with them from Egypt. They were hungry. What did the Lord do for them? He caused bread to rain down on them from heaven. Manna. What is it? It's food. God was teaching them, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. They were to learn to live on God's daily provision for them. Some people tried to keep a little from one day till the next day, and it bred worms. No, they were to live day by day upon the word of God. God's word providing them with food. And here again, the prophet is doing the same thing. Give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he said before them, and they did eat, and they left thereof according to the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Man shall not live by bread, but by the word of the Lord. If only we had more of this attitude, trusting God's word. Trusting God's word for everything. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's a good thing to trust in God for our daily provision for us. To be dependent on him. And Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. So here, when we have the bread set before the 100 people, it's pointing us forward to Jesus, who is the bread that came down from heaven. Except a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he has no life in him. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Eat me, I am the bread. Feed upon me. So this is pointing to the provision, not just for hungry bodies, but for hungry souls, pointing onward towards Christ, so that we might learn to be dependent on him. Feed my sheep. We were talking about that in the morning, weren't we? The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Feed the flock of God which is committed to your trust. How are we to feed the flock of God? Set on food for them. What is the food for the flock of God? Jesus Christ and his word. He is the bread. Feed on him. Feed on his gospel. Feed on his work. Feed on his death for you. Feed on his resurrection for you. Feed on his continuing work for you. Feed on his person. Prophet, priest, and king. Feed on his work. Salvation for your soul. Feed on his promises. I am the bread that came down from heaven. You have an appetite for Jesus Christ, a hunger for him. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We need Christ, we need him every day. Thirdly, we have here the comfort of the word of God. The servitor said, verse 43, what should I set this before 100 men? 20 barley loaves before 100 men? They might all get one bite. That's about all. One bite each. That will just mock their hunger. And it will make them feel more hungry, really. A mouthful. Shall I set this before 100 men? And the prophet said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord. Notice the comfort of God's word. Thus saith the Lord, believe God, believe his word. They shall eat and shall leave thereof. What a blessing it is to have God's word, to have the Bible. Search the scriptures, for these are they that testify of me. Feed upon the word of God. Take it to heart. Believe what it says, because it never tells lies. It sets the truth before us. Study the Bible. Search the scriptures. Read it. Ask the Spirit of God to teach you what it means, to help you to grasp it personally, to give you faith to believe what it's saying. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endures unto everlasting life. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? The disciples crossed over to the other side, and then Jesus walked across the sea as on dry land. People wondered, where is he gone? We haven't seen him go. And they came to Capernaum searching for him. When did you come here, Jesus? They asked. They wanted to make him king. And Jesus said, you seek me. Not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. You seek me out of a fleshly interest, out of a bodily lust. You seek me because I filled your stomachs, and all you're interested in is filling your stomachs. Can you not see the miracle? Can you not see behind the miracle? Can you not see the revelation in the miracle, pointing to me as the Messiah, the Savior of the world? You seek me because you are seeking an earthly king who will make you rich. No, seek me rather for salvation. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. How hard you and I work for the meat which perisheth, for money and for food. How much more we should labor for spiritual food. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. Are you laboring for that which will endure unto everlasting life? Many people's Christianity is simply earthly, sensual, fleshly. They're concerned about seeing miracles and being entertained. Many of the big churches, that's what's involved. Miracles being performed, worldly music to entertain them, exciting experiences, a dramatic show. But friends, what we need for our souls is not sensual experiences. What we need for our soul is the spiritual word of God, the teaching of the scriptures. We need that food that will feed us unto everlasting life. So let us learn and feed and trust upon the word of God. Finally, we notice here the miraculous increase. 20 little loaves, 20 little scones, as it were, and it feeds 100 men, and there's leftovers. They ate till they were satisfied, and they left over. And that points forward to Jesus feeding the 4,000 and feeding the 5,000. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And what did they pick up at the end? 12 baskets full. Each one of the 12 apostles had his basket filled. Elisha here performs a miracle by the power of God. How much greater is the miracle that Jesus performed? A greater than Elisha is here. The Lord Jesus Christ. He took a smaller amount of food and he fed a much greater multitude, and there was far more left over at the end. Jesus is the greatest prophet. And this passage is pointing forward to him. Is he your prophet? Is he the one you trust in? The one you depend upon? Is he your great priest interceding for you? Your great king ruling over you? There are several people in our congregation seriously ill at the moment, and several people that we know. What can we say? We can say, look to Christ. Christ is able to heal if it is his wish. But he's also able to help. And he certainly will help, whether it be to heal or to give grace to endure, and grace to live, and grace to die, and grace to live forever with Christ. Christ has the answers. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The various trials and troubles and pains and distresses and illnesses and tragedies of life are all directing our minds to focus in upon Christ. Christ is the answer. Elisha was able, by God's help, to perform miracles and to provide answers for the people of his day. How much more the greatest of all the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, provides for our every need. Look to him. If you're unconverted tonight, look to the Lord Jesus, who's able to give you the living bread, which if you eat of it, you will never die. Look to Christ and him alone.